Thank you to Cash App for sponsoring this episode.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, friends. I am super excited about today's episode. We're taking a little detour from our general format, and we're doing a special episode of What Came Next. A few months ago, when we aired our most recent Q&A episode, I included some information about publishing and writing your story. I have received an incredible amount of messages since that episode asking about more information. When we were discussing future episodes and ways to bring information to the audience, we thought it would be a great idea to host a special episode where we discuss the publishing process and, more specifically, the nonfiction proposal process, and hopefully equip you with some information you didn't have before that will help you write your story. Today, I'm going to share some tips, some tricks, and some secrets that most people don't know about the nonfiction publication and writing process. I just want to say before we go on that I am a firm believer that everybody has a story. And if you feel like you are compelled to share your story, I think you have the responsibility to do so. Because if you have a story in you that you need to tell, I can almost guarantee that there are readers out there that have to read it. You might be wondering why I'd be the person to speak to this, and that's because over the last almost 15 years, I've had experience in almost every facet of writing and publishing there is. I am a self-published author. I have an illustrated tale for book lovers of all ages that I self-published. I am also a traditionally published author of my memoir, Working for Justice. And I've also contributed to many different websites, books. I have 5 different stories in 8 different Chicken Soup for the Soul books. I've written for websites like Netflix, Scary Mommy, and I have learned a lot along the way. I want to note that the methods I share today are applicable to starting a writing career in general and potentially pitching your writing to different media outlets. My mission really is to demystify the writing and publication process, and to make it more accessible for you. I often offer my knowledge to people who express wanting to write a book or wanting to at least just get their experiences out onto paper. I have done sit-downs with many guests from What Came Next. I've done it for guests of Something Was Wrong, and I've done it in my DMs for you guys who have reached out for more information. I love to support people.
I've learned so much in the process of building my writing career, and I feel like it's selfish if I don't share the information that I've gathered. And like I alluded to before, there are some lesser known pieces of information that people who are not entirely knowledgeable about the writing or publication process don't know. And I love to equip people with this information. And to be clear, I don't think nonfiction writing is more healing than writing fiction. Both can be deeply cathartic.
For example, J.J. Comerford, who was just on the show, he shares in his episode how narrative therapy helped him. Narrative therapy allows the writer to reframe an experience in their life using narrative writing or fictional writing. So it's rewriting a piece of their personal history. Nonfiction writing is different, but still very, very therapeutic. So this episode is dedicated to
sharing about the nonfiction proposal process. One of the biggest reasons I like to share this process is because most people don't know this. This is kind of a big secret of the publishing industry and or writing industry. You don't need to write your nonfiction book before you sell your book to a publisher or pitch it to an agent. You just need to write a nonfiction manuscript proposal. And even though it's not necessary for the self-publishing process, this proposal is really helpful just to use as an organizational tool to write your memoir, your autobiography, your nonfiction book, anything. It's also really important to note that what I'm going to share truly only applies to the nonfiction writing world. Considering to publish or sell a fiction book or novel, that manuscript has to be completed. All of this information I'm about to give you, again, is very valuable for anyone who wants to write their story, whether that's for the purpose of sharing that story or not. Either way, if you write a book or a proposal and you write and you edit and you write and you edit, that process of refinement, of almost objectification of your experiences, can be super cathartic. And that's why I encourage people, whether you have the impetus to publish or not, this is a great way to complete the writing process, no matter what your goal is with that writing. Now, I know it sounds pretty niche, like, hey, I'm not planning to write a book. But to be honest, the information that I'm going to offer today is really super helpful. Even if you don't want to publish anything, it's a really great way to organize your thoughts that are sometimes hard to get out, especially when they're so personal. Let's get into the proposal format. There's a relatively regimented format for that nonfiction proposal. If you need a visual while you listen, I've linked a few sites in the episode notes that do a really good job of sharing an outline of the nonfiction proposal format. Now, you can get creative with how you present it, but every proposal has certain pieces that help a publisher, an agent, or a professional understand your project better. Something to keep in mind as you listen to this proposal format is that the proposal itself is about why this book matters. This proposal is really truly to explain to whoever is reading it, even to you, to hype yourself up about why this book needs to be published. It's absolutely no secret that given a choice between hanging out at home and going out, you're going to find me on my couch with my cats and my kids. And as an avid online shopper who prefers not to brave the malls for any reason, the safety and security of my money is of utmost importance. That's why I'm a big fan of Cash App. It's a financial services platform that's accessible, secure, and super simple to sign up for. Cash App does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. If you direct deposit at least $300 in paychecks each month and use the Cash App card for purchases, you can unlock up to $200 in free overdraft coverage. And if you overdraft unexpectedly, there are no hidden fees. Manage your money on your terms and take advantage of free overdraft coverage up to $200 on Cash App today. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up, and they send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Overdraft coverage provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. Thank you again to Cash App for sponsoring this episode. So the first thing that any proposal format has is an overview, basic premise, why this book matters, and why you are the person to write it. The overview is a brief passage that highlights what the book is about and what the readers will gain or learn from it. It also includes information about your future manuscript's word count. I believe a book that's about 50 to 70,000 words is about 200 pages. So if you want to have a 200-page book, you propose a 50 to 70,000 word manuscript. The overview generally is about a few paragraphs, a page or two. The second piece of a proposal goes on to explain the target audience of that project and also the current literary marketplace for books like that. So you're going to talk about books that have really inspired you or have been akin to what you want to share. You also get to share what is it giving that those books that you just compared it to have never offered before. Next, there's the author bio. In that, you can mention your bylines and your media mentions. This is a great place to plug anywhere you've ever written before. That can include your local newspaper. It can include a blog. It can include anything. The next piece of a proposal generally goes into a marketing plan. If it's for yourself, it's also super helpful to have a plan of attack when this book comes out. Where do you plan to sell it? How do you plan to sell it? Are there podcasters you know? Can you appear to talk about that book on that podcast? This section can also include information about your social media audiences and platforms. So if you've worked to gain a following, you should definitely share that here. After a marketing plan, generally a proposal will go into a table of contents. So this table of contents is really where you break down the chapter list that you plan to write. Let's say your book has 12 chapters. This list will break down each of the chapters and give a paragraph description or so. What can the reader expect in that chapter? What is the general arc and or trajectory the book is focusing on in that chapter? And then at the end of the proposal, there are sample chapters. That's 1 to 3 sample chapters, depending on the length of the proposal. Something that people might get shocked at, as I explained that didn't sound like a lot of work, but it is a very time-consuming process. Once you're done with that proposal and you have that 20 to 40 page proposal ready, which yes, it does end up to be about 20 to 40 pages, depending upon what you include, how long your sample chapters are, how many sample chapters you include. Once you're complete with that nonfiction proposal, it is going to be a very clear roadmap for you as a writer. You now have an idea of all the chapters you're going to write. You have your first couple chapters written. Also, since the proposal forced you to calculate your projected number of words and your number of chapters, this proposal then can help you basically plan your writing process too. You can estimate how many words each of your chapters will be. For example, if your book has 15 chapters and you've said it's going to be around 70,000 words, then you can divide them and know that each chapter has to be around 4,666 words. You can also use those numbers to figure out how many words a day you have to write in order to complete your book. Let's say you're lucky enough to sell your book from your proposal and they ask you to finish your manuscript within like 3 months. You know you'll have 90 days to write the 70,000 words. So you can divide those and you'll find you have to write about 777 words a day to finish the book in time. Let's say one day you write more, another day you can write less. So that really is a super great organizational tool to help you get shit done. And even if you end up self-publishing or just keeping your book to yourself or your therapist, this is still a great tool for entering this project with clarity. You might begin this process and have no intention to share this with anyone. But as you get it out, and as we share more and more, even with just the loved ones in our lives, we realize we are not alone. And sometimes getting that out there really does make us go, whoa, I need to share this. So if you have no intentions of sharing at large and accomplish this proposal process and then realize you do want to get it out, you don't need an agent to pitch this. You don't need a publisher to pitch this. There are ways for you to do that. The internet has everything we could ever need and more. There are websites available for you to look into publishers that are currently accepting submissions. Some publishers do accept cold submissions without any agency or representation. And that is a great way to find super supportive publishers. If you want an agent, because sometimes agents are required to get to those larger publication houses, there are also websites that tell you what agents are currently accepting submissions. Another literary world tip is that if you do take this proposal out and pitch it, you would also have to draft a query letter to these publishing houses, agents, or whoever you are going to be sending this to. A query letter, in essence, is a one-page letter that's meant to compel or drive whoever's reading it to want to read your full proposal. A query letter has its own format as well. Generally, if you write a query letter to a publisher or an agent, first you're going to personalize that letter. Make sure that the recipient of that letter knows why you are going to them. Why are they the perfect agent for you? Why are they the perfect publication house for you? Then you're going to talk about your book, the genre, the category. What is the word count? You include the title and subtitle. You include a hook. So you're going to want to write something that compels this publisher, this agent to keep reading. Why do they want to make your book for you? Also, you're going to include your target readership. Who's going to buy this book? Why are they going to buy it? You do not want to say, everyone will love my book. There are defined audiences in the literary world. Is this a true crime book? Is this a self-help book? Is it a prescriptive memoir? Meaning, are you going to write about something, an experience in your life that you will then use to teach the reader something? Define that readership and tell them, why is this book going to be bought? Then you're going to include your bio, your platform, your credentials. Highlight why you're the perfect person to write this book. Anytime you send your proposal to either a publisher or an agent, you're going to also have to include a query letter. And fun fact, you actually need to know how to draft and send a query letter for fiction manuscript proposals too. It's even a useful tool for pitching articles to websites or newspapers or other publications as well. So these are just some of the little secrets that the publishing industry has. If you want a more defined picture of what a nonfiction proposal looks like, you can find outlines online, but there's also room for you to make this your own. Some of you might be thinking, thank you for the information, but why do I need this? I'm not going to be writing a book and publishing a book. But truly, as I explained, these parts of a proposal really do help you have a clear picture as you write a book. So again, even if you're not pitching to a publisher or an agent, this is still a great plan because you have then your complete outline. So you know how you're going to write it. This is actually a suggestion of mine for anybody that I think is going to want to write their book, whether they want to publish or not. For my memoir, Working for Justice, One Family's Tale of Murder, Betrayal, and Healing, I did sell my book before writing it. To be very transparent, I did work with an agent that I am no longer with, and it's okay to find an agent and then stop working with them. As long as you are not breaking contracts or breaching contracts, this is your story, and you should take control of it in whatever way feels best to you. And that is why I like to offer this information, because it is a way to take control no matter what path you take in the process. Are agents necessary? No. I have a friend whose book came out the same week as mine. She did not have an agent. Her book was published by a smaller publisher, but that publisher was a fervent supporter of her writing. And after her book came out, they submitted her to many writing competitions. They continue to support her literature. So it depends on what you're looking for. But either way, even if you're just writing your story for you, or you're sharing it with your family, this, again, is such a great tool for getting it out. Now that we've discussed the proposal format, I also really like to equip listeners with more nuanced information about self-publishing versus traditional publishing, because that sometimes is the struggle. It's not whether you're going to write this book, it's about how you want to try to get it out there. There are pretty much two methods of publication at this moment. There is a self-publishing process and a traditional publishing process. Before we go on, it's really important to define the difference between self-publishing and traditionally publishing. Self-publishing, if you look at a book like a small business, self-publishing is investing in that business with all of your own funds or maybe crowdsourced funds that you then use to publish your book by hiring various services and managing the project yourself. Traditional publishing is like allowing another company, the publishing company, to fund your business, run the operations. That includes virtually all tasks except writing your book. That should always be your job unless there's a ghostwriter involved in the process. For self-publishing, you are basically a team of one and you have to hire everybody, in essence, unless the self-publishing company that you find have a lot of people that are a part of the process. When I self-published, an illustrator helped me design a cover. There was somebody with the company that helped me design the back cover and know what to include on that. There are many different things that we often don't think about in terms of self-publishing. There are going to be costs for editing, cover art, and costs for printing. There's also going to be potential costs for publicity and marketing as well. There are going to be costs in the sense that they're coming directly out of your pocket. The more costs that you incur, the harder it is to make money off of a project. And even if making a profit or making money off of this project isn't your goal by sharing your story, it's undeniable that your time and your energy are still worth a lot. Self-publishing doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. There are legitimate self-publishing options. I would look for reviews online. I would look for more information about that publishing house before you sign any contracts. Look at what charges do you incur in the process. Are they charging quite a lot to just create the book? Can you control the costs in any way? Or do they give you little control? As the author, is there a minimum number of books that you can buy at one time? Or is it only print on demand? How much does it cost for you to publish each book? These are all important questions to have answered before you sign up for a self-publishing process. However, there are solutions to some of the things that would incur costs in your process, like there are Facebook groups for editors. You can get something like an alpha reader or a beta reader who will read your book once it's written and give you feedback. And sometimes you can swap that, meaning you can read their book and they can read yours. So there are ways to work around it. But if you're finding somewhere that sounds like it costs an arm and a leg, that is probably a vanity press. A vanity press is the term applied to self-publishing houses that often overcharge or present misleading information and require an author pay sometimes exorbitant amounts in order to get their book published. Self-publishing definitely has limitations that sometimes traditional publishing does not, and vice versa. To add in terms of self-publishing, when you are putting a story out into the world on your own, you're also selling that on your own. A lot of authors will rely on social media and their own platforms. However, something I really like to make clear is that when you have, let's say, a million TikTok followers, you don't necessarily have a million readers. Another limitation of a self-published project is limited distribution. When you have a book, bookstores can order 500 copies of your book if they think that it's going to sell. However, let's say they only sell 100 and then they want to send back those other 400 that don't sell. That would be a liability if you are paying for everything yourself.
That's actually one reason why a lot of non-independent bookstores don't sell self-published books.
Now, on the flip side, traditional publishing offers you quite a bit that self-publishing doesn't. But again, it doesn't mean that you're going to make money off this project. It just generally means that you're going to be able to pass off a lot of tasks that you wouldn't in self-publishing. In a traditional publishing company, they're going to have an editor. So when they buy your book from you, which again can be directly from a proposal, they're going to assign you an editor. That editor will help you edit your book. They fact check, they make sure that things have continuity, you're not missing any pieces. There's going to be somebody who designs the cover. Even though they're hiring someone to create that cover for you, you can still have input in it. A lot of times with a larger publishing company, they have marketing and publicity that are part of it. They still rely heavily on an author's own market and or platforms, but they also have their own that they can pitch to as well. And you have a team to work on it with you that you're not paying out of pocket for that.
However, it's super important to remember that even a book that's traditionally published is like a small business. So even though costs to print the book aren't coming out of your pocket, they're coming out of an overall budget for the project, which is furnished by the publishing company. One reason some authors love self-publishing is so they can retain a lot of the power in the process. And that's not to imply that in traditional publishing you can't, but mastering the whole process yourself can be healing for some survivors, especially when they've had consent stolen from them prior.
The most recent panel that I did, one of these survivors and authors on the panel said that she self-published because she wanted to retain the rights to her story. I did want to speak to that. If you are traditionally published, you can still retain the rights to your story, meaning if a big publishing company or a small publishing company, for that matter, decides to purchase your book and print it, you can still retain the rights to your story. It just depends on your contract with that publishing house and the way they define your rights. I still retain the rights to the story about my life. With all that said, I deeply appreciate all of you guys listening out there, no matter what you hope to do with your journey. I am a firm believer that one of the only ways we can heal is to dig up what we navigate and get it out of our bodies. The body keeps the score. So if you are inclined to write, if you are a reader or a writer by nature, if you have a story to share, there are people out there who need to read it. I can stand by that being a fact. I know that. I know I've spit a lot of information at you today. I want to make myself available to anyone else who wants more information on this process. So if you do, you can always find me on Instagram at Amy B. Chesler. I am happy to send you any and all links and information that I have in regards to proposals, agents, publishers, and getting yourself out there.
Please also consider sharing this episode with a loved one that you know is interested in nonfiction writing. Every listen and share helps immensely.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
She had texted me that morning that she needed my help. He wouldn't leave. He told her he had nowhere to go. He had no money. She really stood her ground and she didn't want to get the police involved. And I had told her, you're going to have to physically have him removed from the home. We ended the calls with I love yous. I set my alarm for 5 o'clock. I laid down like 4:15 for a little nap. I jumped off the couch at 4:50, literally jumped up like something woke me up. And I thought it was my alarm and it wasn't.
Thank you again to Cash App for sponsoring this episode. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up, and they send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Overdraft coverage provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production, co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.